Good morning, Patriots. Blessed Sunday to everybody. To begin with, on the top, 26th to the 29th of August is probably the greatest event in our time. It's God's event. It's Bard's Fest. I wouldn't say it's great because it's has more fireworks, because it won't have any. It's not great because it has the biggest names and bands, because we don't. But what this is the greatest event, because together God is calling as many as it will come online and being present to celebrate his love, and to do so from the heart of the nation, and to do so at a time and a place that is so needed. And it's not just to be passive about it. This is a very important time that the remnant is being called to assemble, to come together, to find their strength, to build their strength, and be prepared for what is ahead. Bard's Fest is a revival, and it's probably, and we've prayed to see it to be one of the greatest revivals in human history, if not the greatest revival in human history, and I think it has all the potential for that. God's leading it, and if God leads it, you know anything like that is possible. Bard's Fest is donation-driven. If you received a ticket from Ticketmaster or Eventbrite, you have now had that money refunded to you. Eventbrite deplatformed us 2 weeks ago and inappropriately declared the event was canceled. Ticketmaster, we just closed a couple of days ago as we've consolidated ourselves within the space of what is called the Drive-In St. Louis Powerplex, which is in St. Louis County. It's a big outdoor-indoor facility. It's a wonderful place to bring all Patriots together. So if you received an email from Ticketmaster that said the event's canceled, it's not. The event is getting bigger and more aggressive than ever in a wonderful way, in a God way. I have to say aggressive to say it's a God-loving way, because otherwise our friends at DHS, and I'm sure are listening in right now, and good morning, DHS, if you're listening in. Let's hope you get some Jesus in you, and maybe you get something out of this program. So, Bard's Fest is truly one of the great moments for all of us to come together, and to do so in the name of God, and to do so unified through God and love, and the love he brings for us. So that's the 26th to the 29th of August. You can go to bardsfest.com. Bardsfest.com. You can donate if you'd like to support the event. You can buy tickets. Tickets are not a normal purchase. They are a donation. Tickets are by a donation. So you can go there. You can donate any amount that you feel that you would like to donate to get tickets. If you can't afford tickets, please contact us through the website. And that's at tickets@bardsfm.com. And we'll make sure everybody has a ticket. Do not let the cost of a ticket hinder you from coming. There have been way too many Patriots that have reached out to ensure that that will not happen, and we're truly blessed. So we continue to pray for your donations, and continue to pray for your donations to get tickets to assemble as many people as we can. On the 27th of August is Slipper Revolution Day. That's when Mike Lindell is going to be speaking, and we're honoring him with wearing in his speech so the slippers from Slipper Revolution, the My Slippers. If you get yourself a pair of My Slippers and many other things to continue to support Mike Lindell and his efforts, go to MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com and use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You can also call their free Patriot Counseling number, which is 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939, and you can talk to them about how you're unable to sleep and how you're under so much stress. And they're going to tell you that if you have a promo code and you're going to say BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, they'll get you all set up to sleep with the best pillows, the best sheets, everything. And it'll be cheaper than a psychiatrist's visit. You'll get all sorts of new stuff, put it in your bed, and you'll sleep like a baby, and all your stress will be gone. Drug-free. That's the best part. Drug-free. So head on over to MyPillow.com or FrankSpeech.com. Use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, or call the 800 number, 800-975-2939, and use the promo code BARDS. Titus 1:16. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. It's an appropriate comment with relation to who we are these days. So many have forgotten the true sense of what it is to be related to God and walk in the body of Christ. And I read it regularly, even in comments that we put up in different social media. There is a perception, for example, that once saved, always saved. That there's no way that, well, I'm not going to be saved. I don't see that way in you. We've talked about this. And the issue about being saved is a process by which we have to make the choice of what we're going to continue to do each day towards a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a recommitment every single morning. It's a recommitment of our faith. It's a recommitment of this walk. Walking with a relationship with God is not a easy path, and it's not a quick punch the ticket and then everything is good. I can go back and doing whatever I want. It's a dedicated path that puts God first in all things, and our relationship through Christ is our bridge to him. So it's through Christ to the Father. And that dedication, that commitment, each and every breath is a discipline every day. And the more that we do that discipline, the better we get. Meaning the closer we get with God. It's not like we're going to get some big award or a gold star because guess what, Johnny? Today, you did well walking with the Lord, so you get to put a gold star on your chest. Actually, you can put a gold star on your chest, a yellow one, in certain states right now if you chose to take the pass, the COVID jab. So if you did that, sure, you can put a gold star on your chest. Matter of fact, you can wear it all over, just like the Jews did. And you can be special. You can be identified as special because you are better than everybody else. And that's at that point in time, the very fact that those people took it are the ones that are walking away from Christ faster than even those that didn't know Christ. Because you know these things. You know that God did not create a world where there is division and judgment based on something as invisible as a jab, especially a jab that was designed to mix up your DNA and ruin the temple which God gave us. These are very difficult times and are going to continue to be because they're demanding on all of us to stand with a family that's becoming our new and real family. It's the family that we are standing with is the family of faith and those that we find in common and we pray with and we unite with. And even more interesting to that is some of those people we haven't even met. This digital space has opened up a world for us, a world of meeting people and vetting people and trusting people in a way we've never imagined. It doesn't happen quickly. In fact, I would argue that the friendships that are built right now in some of these places, like the fellowship that it builds right here on this board, the conversation boards of this podcast, here on Podbean, those connections have taken more time to become solid with than if someone had sat down and had coffee with somebody. And the beauty of that is that's as it should be. We should be taking time to get to know each other, time to get to trust each other, time to know where we can share and where we can't. Friendship is a very interesting thing. I've had friendships in war develop quickly. But what is the real difference is how they endure over time. Some of my closest friends, I don't see nor do I talk to very often. And friendships are not something of expectation. This particular fight is a difficult one for all. Everybody has to learn to a certain degree or another to walk on your own. It isn't to say you're alone. I'm saying to walk on your own. And if you can't handle walking on your own, this fight, this war is going to eat you up. The way that you walk in this world alone is not to lean your burdens on others, but to lean your burdens on God and through God, through Christ, to the Father. And when you live that way, you start to see the glory and joy of who people really are. The worst possible thing that happens in relationships that we build is that we become dependent on the others to keep us propped up. That we rely on others to listen to us, to console with us. And there are those that end up doing things like seeking a counselor's bed, just to a psychiatrist's couch, so to speak, to lay there and have somebody listen to them. That is a lost soul right there. God is the only counselor you need, and this relationship we have through Christ to the Father is all that we need to be whole if we trust in it. And this whole place that we're at is going to require that we make these hard choices again. There's different levels of burden being thrown upon everybody. And God isn't putting us in these places by accident. And as we move along, those burdens are going to get greater for everybody. We have to make a determination each day on a couple of things. One, if the burdens are too much to bear, we need to turn to God and trust that He will make the appropriate course adjustments. But then we can't loathe and lament if God moves us, say, away from the fight. Here's an example that happens very often in real world. You get a commander out on the field, in the battlefield, and things get hot and tough, and they get tense. And there will be a commander once in a while, maybe it's a lieutenant, maybe it's a captain, maybe it's even a colonel, that the stresses, and I've seen it happen in all of those ranks, literally. The stresses of the fight get to them. And they've had this idea of being on the point of the spear. They become almost addicted to being on the point of the spear. But the stresses of the fight get to them. And they start to take on different characteristics that would be inappropriate for the heat of the battle. It's not that they're not good. It's not that they're not strong commanders. Strong in the right place, weak in the wrong place. And some of those commanders may have started out being totally strong. Those leaders that we're talking about can be very strong in the fight, but as the fight evolves and it gets bigger and it gets more, and it gets larger in scope, more involved, not everybody makes it. And it's at those moments that we have to be willing to be strong enough to accept what changes come. A good commanding officer over the entire fight will realize what's happening to his field commanders. And when he sees something like that, he'll pull them back, not to punish them, but to use their resources better somewhere else, because what he doesn't want to do is lose an officer permanently in life or lose an NCO permanently because he didn't adjust them and they become burned out and they walk away. And it's a hard thing to do because people are people, and if they enjoy the fight, they don't want to leave the fight. They feel very connected to the fight. In 2006, after I was out for about 10 days in Panjway and Helmand province and in some very, very intense fighting with Canadians, I had been out of radio contact with base, my headquarters back in Kandahar. And I finally got a hold of them via my cell phone when we got into cell phone area. We'd been in remote areas where there were no cell phone signals, and we weren't sending the relays that were supposed to be giving my messages back to command. Had decided that they just weren't going to do it. It was a complete failure and a complete ridiculous show that they put on that left rumors floating around that I had been captured by the enemy. This is for real, actually. It's not making this up. In fact, there were reports that the Taliban had captured me. So there was a lot of concern back in my command of what my status was and what they should do. So I called back. As we got to a resupply point, we finally had cell signal. That was the first call I made. I called back to command and I said, okay, this is where I'm at. And they said, you need to get back here now. And I was very resistant because where we were heading into was another really aggressive battle. They said, you need to get back here now. So I jumped the first transport. I jumped the first transport convoy back. And I was back in by that night. Well, late that afternoon, actually. Because we had started the resupply very early in the morning. When I got back in, I called. And I was about ready to take a shower. I hadn't had a shower for 10 days. So you can imagine, you're not the most pleasant person to be around. My beard was pretty woolly and there was a need of some bathing going on here. And I was about ready to jump into the shower. And commander called. He said, get up here right now. The general wants to see you. And I said, Colonel, I said, I have not even showered yet. I said, I can't come see the general like this. He said, I don't care. Get your butt up here right now. I said, okay. So I headed on up to the headquarters office where I met the colonel. The general was sitting there waiting for me. His first words were, I'm glad to see you're alive. And I said, thank you, sir. So we talked a little bit about what was going on and a lot of the things that had happened over the last few days. Gave him an intel dump of what was going on. He said, okay, so probably a good idea if you head up to Herat for a little while, which is the last place in the world I ever wanted to go. And so he excused himself. And the colonel said to me, he said, you're grounded. I said, you can't ground me. I said, you don't have that authority. He says, you're under my command. You're grounded. Get back to your barracks. Get back to your room. Clean up. I'm going to meet you for breakfast every single day. And I do not want to hear a word about you doing anything other than either watching TV, sleeping, or writing. But that's it. You're grounded until I tell you otherwise. Needless to say, I was not a happy camper. That's not why I'd come to Afghanistan, was to be grounded like some five-year-old in my room. But this particular commander was a Vietnam veteran. He had been reactivated in the first time ever that they had reactivated a retired colonel to come to this fight. He had a lot of experience in combat. And so we met every single morning for breakfast and we would just talk. And I spent my days diddling around Kandahar, even going over to the Tim Hortons, which the Canadians had built, having coffee and donuts. And it's a sort of R&R, basically, in the middle of war, is what had been created in Kandahar, a place that they called the Boardwalk. They had all these restaurants you could go to. And it was just a bizarre world for me because my heart is always and has always been and will always be in the field. But I ran alone, basically. When I filmed and when I did things, I ran on my own. When I worked in special operations, I ran on my own. And usually those two things ran hand in hand. So after about 7 days or so, I went to breakfast. And the colonel said to me at that breakfast, he said, get on the next bird out of here. I need you to fly up to Carnay, which I hadn't been to Carnay since we had had a big firefight back in June. Another place that I thought I wasn't going to come home, but God guided us through that one. And I said, all right, sir. I said, what changed? I said, you've been telling me I can't do anything. I can't so much as sniff out an idea of getting an aircraft out of here. And now you're telling me to move as fast as I can to get my gear together and get on the next bird out of here. What changed? He says, Scott, let me tell you something. He said, when you walked into my office, he said, I looked in your eyes and you had the 1,000-meter stare. He says, I've seen that stare before. It's what I ran into guys in Vietnam. He says, it's that time that I had to pull you back to give you a little breath to breathe, to anchor your feet on the ground, and to distance yourself so that you didn't become part of the war and that the war didn't consume you, but you became outside of the edge of the war. He said, I know where you are now better than you do. And he said, no matter what happens going forward now, you won't get caught in that trap. Get out of here and get on a bird. You've got work to do. And I did. And so my journey continued. The point of this is that the Lord is our great commander. He may not speak as boldly, but he definitely speaks with a command of voice if we hear. And there is a time and a place for everybody to be on the point, and there's a time and a place for people to take a step back. In this fight right now, our obedience is to the Lord. And our obedience must be remain to the Lord in all things that we do. And there comes a time when the Lord will shift the battlefield. He will shift the makeup of his commanders on the ground. And it will look differently. It might suddenly appear to you that your world is falling apart. It might appear to you that the voice of God has gone quiet. None of that's true if we've listened. God doesn't want you out of the fight. He's put us here to be in this fight. God isn't punishing you or silencing you, but he needs you to think and to listen. The last thing God wants is for his children to be in the middle of the fight and be so heavily scarred coming out of it that they themselves can't come home. He's not going to do that to any of us. And it's up to us to find that voice. No one can find it for you. No one can come out here and say to you, it's going to be okay, and pat you on the back and it all gets better. There's a lot of stresses each of us are under, and to each his own, meaning in a positive way, to each to the caliber and level in which God put us there. Some people can carry a heavy, heavy burden. Others carry a different type of burden. It's not saying one's better than the other. Some people's position is global. Other people's position is local. But we've been put in these places and in such a time and for such a time as this to be able to actuate our dimension of the war, our part of this fight, appropriately within the context of what we're dealing with and what we are intended and designed to do. God knows our capability and knows it better than us. And so as we move forward and we build friendships and we use those friendships to build strength and fellowship, don't replace that friendship and that strength and fellowship with the importance of listening to the Word of God. The Word of God is what guides us. And unfortunately, we are too often, we fall into these traps over and over, and we see it everywhere, where we replace God with those around us. And we don't even realize we do it. It's a bit of a sleight of hand. There's this perception in, the one thing, I will say it this way, the one thing that being in conflict really taught me in big ways, and I've always been a very independent person, but the one thing that conflict really taught me is that when you get to the leadership positions of top and you get into smaller and smaller units that are really doing some of the hardest work, everybody has a huge lift to carry. And you have to do your job, and it gets heavy, and the only place you're going to be able to release some of that from is your relationship with God when the burdens get too much. But in conflict, there's no time to bemoan things to your friends and to try to get all that emotional and moral propping up by your buddies. This is time where you're battle focused. You keep your eyes forward on that fight. And it's essential that we not forget that. The Lord is there all the time. He is there with that relationship that no one else, no other place can be. And we forget that. We tend to think somehow that praying to the Lord, I don't know. It's like we pray and we pray when we need something, but it's the relationship we build that makes the difference. God is part of everything that we do. I mean, when you're sitting down at the table, it's not inappropriate to be inviting Christ to sit with you. When we pray to God, it's not just a quick blessing, blah-de-blah-de-blah, all over, and God leaves. God's there. When you're walking around town, when you're going shopping, when you're sitting at your desk, when you're in the garden, when you're in the shop, when you're working on your rig, whatever you're doing, when you're at the shooting range, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as you walk through the body of Christ, and we have the presence of God through that. And it's something that we need to lean into more, because right now in particular, there is going to be times when the connection and fellowship that we're accustomed to will become increasingly difficult. People worry a lot about what happens when social media connections get severed. The answer is you shouldn't worry at all, because you need to trust in God. And this is a time right now that all of this time we've had has been preparing this remnant for such a time as this, when the road will get much more difficult. If you doubt me, look around at what this enemy's doing. Every single day, there's a new ratchet up the list of restrictions and repressive measures that they're putting into place. They are moving at lightning speed. Something has them spooked. And I mean seriously spooked. They are moving at overtime to destroy God's children like we have never seen. And as I spoke about last night, which I'd encourage you to listen to, and it's a heavy piece that I did last night, but don't fool yourself in the state of this fight. This fight has been prepped and primed by them for years. And the substance that they put into play here, this injection, this is not an experimental drug. It's only that by definition of the FDA's approval process. Patriots, you have the greatest scientists and the greatest labs in the world that developed an injection that somehow mysteriously is killing people? Come on. These people knew and know exactly what this thing is doing. The only puzzle piece that's missing is what we know. And the catch-up we've been doing is catching up to what they're doing, not them trying to figure out what the accident is. They know damn well what they're doing to the human race. They knew it from the beginning. No one could miss the fact that when you put mRNA into an injection in the labs, when they did it, and they did it for years, every single animal injected with it that was re-exposed to the original virus died 100%. So you don't miss that data. It's not like some data point that's like, oh, well, they didn't mean to do that. They were just trying to rush quickly in Operation Warp Speed to get us a cure for a pandemic. No, wrong, wrong, wrong. They knew exactly what they were deploying. They knew exactly why, and they didn't need Operation Warp Speed to speed them up. Operation Warp Speed, if anything, threw off their plan. This was a eugenics program from day one to wipe out about 2 billion people on the planet, actually higher than that, in one fell swoop. But they're not going to get that high. We'll probably end up with somewhere around 2 billion unless God intercedes. And you can pray for that. But it goes back to the same place. We, as a remnant, have to be prepared to walk parts of this path alone. And I don't mean alone for the day and then consoling at night. I mean alone for a while. There are going to be days when, by virtue of the cabal or by virtue of loss of people to operate, that the internet's going to go down. Many of the services that we've become dependent upon are going to fail. I'm not painting a doomsday scenario for you. I'm just painting it as you can see it happening. If the cabal has anything to do with it, they're going to sever your ties digitally when they can, because assembling is their greatest fear. But what will never allow that to happen truly and fully is our relationship to God, our walking in the body of Christ, and through that Christ to the Father, that bridge that we build not only with him but with one another through prayer. It is a connection that, no, you don't get to watch it appear on your screen as you type out keys on a keyboard. But if you let your heart reach and open, we begin to connect as God intended us to. You do realize that Wi-Fi, the internet, the whole thing that we now call the internet, you do realize that is a man-made version of what we were designed and programmed to do. Our prayers were our connector because we are all one with the Creator. But what happened with the internet is they decided to make a mechanical version of that. Everything they do is a mechanical version of everything. A mimicry, and many times a mockery. And part of that mockery was that they put behind it over time these things called artificial intelligence engines. These things were designed and calibrated to be evil, to sow discord, to start dividing people. And people weren't even aware they existed, and yet they were active behind the scenes. These engines were typing responses to blogs and typing responses to comments on social media. And people thought that they were speaking to one another. And what it did is it was sowing discord, permanent rifts between people who weren't arguing with each other. They were arguing with an AI. That's the world people were thrust into and openly embraced and gave up on the connectivity through prayer. Instead, relied on the connectivity through email and then through text and then through social media platforms. And I'm not to say there isn't good that becomes of it, because we sit here today as we are blessed with having these discussions, truly, to be able to share a fellowship and prayer unlike anything we've ever imagined. So there are great things that come of these. But our dependency must never rest upon them any more than our dependency must rest on another person. Our dependency must always pivot first and foremost on God. And you have to be able to walk in this world without the others surrounding you. And there will be moments of great fellowship of the physical type, friendship and fellowship. There will be moments that you won't have that. I think we're all praying and expecting that Bard's Fest will be one of those great moments where people come and assemble and have true fellowship with one another. But when that ends, it doesn't mean our relationship and the strength that we gain and the healing that we've been given goes away. Quite to the contrary. It gets stronger. And it gets stronger because we lean more heavily into God. And as these burdens rise, we have to be able to have that relationship with God to lean into him, because he is the only one that will lift off some of the pain that will be experienced by all. Use every moment you have when you're in with people to maximize what you can, but be respectful of the fact that that relationship is not always going to be there when you want it. I have a number of very, very close friends. Types of friends that are brothers. The type of friends that if something happened, this is what I know. Let's say that I was captured by an enemy. They would do everything they could to help me, but they would expect something else. They would expect that I endure as long as I have to, not could. Remember what I said, have to, even if that meant several years. They would never, ever let go of my need, but they know, like I know, that in these true relationships, in these times of war, that when it comes down to it, that each one of us must bear that burden and bear that cross. We don't get the privilege of calling up somebody and dumping our heart and being frustrated with life and having hours on the phone. That's not the way combat works. It's not the way war works. and we're in a war. And I think that's the hardest part for people to get their head around. We are in a war. And when you can finally step into that place and understand that, it looks like a normal world. It smells like a normal world. It tastes like a normal world. But Patriots, this is no normal world. Everything around us has changed in a matter of, it changed in a matter of days. If you had been in Bosnia and Herzegovina, you would have understood war, because when it changed, when everything finally broke, one day you went to the market, the next day there were bodies on the ground because snipers were killing people. This type of war doesn't work like that. It doesn't have the muskets firing. It doesn't have the bodies flopping on the ground yet. It was a war that came at us through fear and through panic that they put in people's hearts. And those in faith stood well and pushed back into God and said, I need your guidance. And God gave it. And here we are as a remnant standing up against this beast that's trying to put injections into children, injections into families, injections into elderly, all for the sole purpose of exterminating people over a period of time. And doing it in a way that in their original plan that would have been so stealth that we would have never linked the dots until years later that they actually pulled off a coup right before us in exterminating humanity. And in the process of that slow walk as it was originally designed, everybody would have handed over all of their freedoms to a cabal. But whatever has happened, that plan of 2030 moved back to 2025 is now moved back to August and September of 2021. Imagine the acceleration of their plan. Something has them fearful. Part of that fear is the strength the Patriots are showing in their ability to stand with God, pray with God, be with God, and defy. But defiance and then operating in the battlefield are not the same thing. Defiance is one act, but then when we're operating in there, we're going to have to deal with other pressures, other people that are going to need to call on us. And each one of us is going to get that call, and that call will continue no matter what happens. You can have the most glorious day all of a sudden where the Patriots fly out of the cupboards and they come jumping out and sweep up and arrest all the cabal. There are still millions left wandering, millions that will be shocked by truth, millions that will be stunned and not be able to cope. And that's where we step in. All of this is prefaced with the point that if God sweeps in with his hand and decides to correct things, we know that that can happen. But you can't rest your laurels on something that you don't know if it will happen. Yes, God will win in the end, but the question is this God's own, is this going to be a fight won by God's own hand, or is this going to be a fight that God works through us? My personal opinion, and I think there's scripture to support this, is God will work through us, not outside of us. And that means each one of us has to have that close relationship with him to be able to walk solidly in your ground in appearance outwardly of what looks to be alone, knowing that inwardly, we have the greatest companion one could ever ask. In fact, we have two. We have Christ Jesus with us each and every step, and we have, through Christ Jesus, the relationship with Father. It is through Christ to the Father. And that relationship that we have is so profound and so strong that there is nothing that we can't endure. So, here we are at a time and a place such as this. And those words are not said lightly. There's a lot of weight on those words because there's consequences in a time and a place. Just like saying as in the days of Noah. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean is it doesn't mean it's an easy walk. It's easy to say, well, look, they're the whole society's gone nuts just like Noah. It's like, yeah. Can you imagine the burden? It was put upon Noah's shoulders to collect all the species on earth and put them in a boat and then to say, okay, buckle up, Noah, here it goes. It's starting to rain. It's raining, it's pouring. Do you think, just curious, do you think there might have been noise of people screaming as the floods came in and they were trying to clamber at the side of the boat? Probably. It would have been pretty horrific, even just knowing how many were being removed, how many perished. That's a heavy burden. You can't walk in this period of time naively to think that those sorts of things won't happen again. The flood right now is the flood of bad decisions, of walking away from God and trying to make these decisions based on their fears and anxieties, which God has always told us not to have. And so we arrive at a point like this, as in the days of Noah, when so many have been corrupted by this injection and so many have been corrupted in their relationship with God. What's to come? We don't know for certain, but if we believe if we believe the only true scientists that are out here, we'll put it this way, not the hand puppets of the cabal that tell you what to believe, but the scientists that are digging every single day. Those doctors and scientists that are involved in this every single day are saying the same thing over and over, and they're not getting together to come up with talking points either. That research is leading them to the constant discussion that those that took the jab have shortened their life by a significant amount. Some say optimistically 10 years. Most agree that it will be 3. Some proclaim that 60% of the people that took the jab will die. Others claim that it will be 100%, that there's no coming back because you've scrambled your DNA. Those are heavy burdens to carry. And the only way that we are going to be able to get through this as a collective whole is, yes, we must have fellowship with one another, but each one of us must learn to walk and be without the relationship dependencies on the others. And that can only happen when you dig deeper into God. There's many things that we all would have liked or would love. We've all looked forward to in one way or another. We have dreams. I have a dream of getting on a sailboat. I've got the sailboat picked out. I know exactly which one I want to get on that sailboat and just to sail. I want to leave the world behind. But that's not what God has me here for now. And that dream gets put on ice. It's not that God won't let me have it, but maybe it's not of this world. Others have dreams of doing things with family on vacation or pursuing some passion. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe it's time. Maybe that pursuit that you're asking is now the time to do it. Maybe that vacation you wanted with family has to take a different form. Maybe the dream you had is part of something bigger you can't see. But whatever it is, the relationship we have with God is the only way forward in this time and in this place. Nothing has been lost. God is moving you if you trust in Him. Those that thought something was going to get lost are the ones that took the injection that said they weren't going to be able to fly, so they had to race and they always wanted to fly. I needed to continue to fly, or they needed to continue to travel. Those are the ones that took the injection out of fear and panic and looking at their world collapsing around them. Nothing is lost right now. We have eternal life. If we abide by the walk in the body of Christ and through Christ to the Father, if we abide by that walk, we have eternal life and all things will be given, all things will happen. God loves us infinitely. But this isn't a time and a place for that. In the middle of battle, in the middle of a firefight, soldiers, you separate those pretty quickly by those that will seek to have R&R and those that continue the fight. Now there's a point that R&R is sometimes needed, and that's part of God's hand. But all of this is not about what we want, and that's the most critical part of this whole message today. It's not about what we want. It's about what God has put us here to do. And how he stewards us is how much we lean into him. And when we lean into him heavily, he puts us where he needs us. He guides us as he must. And as we obey that, we find the freedom that's needed and the strength that we didn't know we have to continue to grow within him. So, Patriots, in the midst of all of this crazy, lean in to God. That's our duty. It's our true responsibility. And that's why he's put us here, is to trust in him, to fight this fight, the fight that's always been here. It's just broken into the open where we can more clearly see it, and to save as many of his children as we can. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for this blessing of fellowship that we have each day, the opportunity to come together in this forum and using the tools of the internet and tools of the digital world to be able to build bridges and friendships and fellowship and to strengthen us within our core. Lord, that is a gift that we pray each day will continue. But in the event that doesn't happen, or in the event that others get busy, we just pray that we'll have the clarity and strength to not despair, but to see that the true place, the one place that we must always lean into first and foremost, is in you. Lord, we pray for the strength of the many to walk in this remnant army with the strength of being able to walk alone, only with a relationship with you, not to be able to be dependent on others. And as we do that walk, as we raise our head, as we walk boldly in this battlefield, let us find those moments of joy and relief as we find true fellowship in the flesh, but that we never disconnect or become dependent on that fellowship, but always build a deeper fellowship with you and through Christ to the Father. In such times as this, Lord, we know that these burdens are going to only increase. Give us the strength. Give us the clarity. Awaken ourselves, Lord, to the true strength that we have within us. For it is through you that we gain that strength, because we are all part of one Creator. Let us hold that dear. Let us realize that what Christ was trying to remind us of is the power in which we are as part of you. And when we place that trust that way, the glory and the wonders of the world begin to open. This seemingly limited 3D world starts to open into dimensions we've never imagined, because it's your creation, your mastery, your glory in which we celebrate and live. Thank you, Lord, for all that is given. Thank you for the sacrifices made. May we honor that sacrifice with each and every breath. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. It's an amazing time to live. It truly is. And it's an amazing time for us to dig deeper and deeper into our relationship with the Lord. Begin each day with a conversation with Christ. Humble ourselves before him, and through him, let us have a deeper relationship with God. Become strong in standing on your own feet. Trust where God puts you. Let go of the hooks and the things that hold us in the past. The past is now over and dead. Like it or not, what was is no more. What becomes is what we make it. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. Prayers are our connector, our foundation, our relationship, our piece of relationship of how we build in with God. Keep your prayers active always, not just in a select moments in time. Keep a constant dialogue going in your heart and with God. Seek his guidance in all things. And in the end, God wins. And we are all part of that victory. So see you this evening for Expedition Cafe. Tonight we have a great sermon, a great interview with a great pastor by the name of Tony Wood, Pastor Tony Wood from Orange County. just a great voice in the voice of God. I look forward to introducing him to you. So until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
With the night.